This is how we do it.
Window.
Available on the chairshot.com radio network. I am so happy to be with all of you tonight. We have so much to talk about, so much news going on, so many happenings. It's ridiculous. So I want to get straight to this because this show originally started off as a half an hour. It has ventured into the added hour territory, and it sometimes ventures into more than that. So I want to make sure that, you know, those who are listening are getting all of your wrestling news and opinions right away. So I want to get to it. But before we do that, I want to introduce my co-host, Greg DeMarco. He runs all the button boards and things like that. So if you randomly hear noises, that's all him. That's all him. Good, bad, or indifferent.
I'm an outlaw.
I'm an outlaw.
That's me. I'm here. I'm pushing buttons. I'm proud to be the co-host of your show.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. And as always, as part of the Hashtag Miranda show, we have the Hashtag Miranda Rights. For those of you who are new or just love when I say them, these are things that I require Greg to do. Yeah, there we go. These are things that I've required Greg to do during every show. Sometimes I know what they are ahead of time. Sometimes I don't, because I just go with the flow of it and come up with whatever idea, you know, pops into my head, especially the ones that Greg gives me. So, Greg, you have the right to remain silent. Everything you say can and will be used against you in the court of Morales, or the internet. That's actually a worse court. I can't even think about another court, like, other than, like, real court. Like, the court of the internet is pretty bad.
I would much rather pick the court of Morales over the court of the internet. Much rather.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, I think the court of Morales is a subset of the court of the internet, since this is part of the internet. Like, this is on the internet. So, you know,
yeah,
maybe
but the
internet...
So,
oh, yeah,
the internet despises me. So yeah,
that's you. Like I'm a circuit court, and like, you know, the internet apparently is like the Supreme Court. So, I mean, apparently I just report to the Supreme Court. You know, I have a small circuit, my own little area, but I don't really have any much say not much I could say or could do with the big court, the court of the internet. So, and there are things that are unjust on the internet. Shocking, I know, but, you know, I do feel like a lot of times you're in a court when you're on the internet constantly having to defend yourself against, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but usually on the internet it's the other way around. And sometimes it's because people deserve it. I'm not going to lie. There's some, you know, sometimes you get caught on the internet, which is, you know, good for you, because you think you can get away with things for a while, but then the internet catches you. You get your receipts and your screenshots and this and that. But sometimes it's so unwarranted. It is literally a witch hunt. It's, you know, people who are investing way too much time on things that have nothing to do with them. So I see both sides of the internet. That's why I don't have a Twitter account. I'm not on Twitter because I'm not about to get into this mess. However, you can follow the Chair Shot on Twitter as well as Greg DeMarco. Greg, why don't you tell our fine audience all those funny Twitter handles that are out there that people need to know?
I mean, I really can't expect you to know them. They're on Twitter, and that's something that you should not know. I am on the Twitter at Chair Shot Greg. You can follow thechairshot.com on the Twitter just by taking out the dot. It's at the chairshot.com. We'll get you very well taken care of. And, you know, if you're looking for somebody to block, just go ahead and follow me, because I'm sure I will make that a reality sooner rather than later. You can also follow Patrick O'Dowd at Wrestling Realist, WrestlingRealist. But you'll just unfollow him later. That's what happens to him.
Yeah.
Why not go through those motions?
One of those things that, for those who may not listen to the Greg DeMarco show, which at this point I'm pretty sure you do. If you listen to this show, you listen to the Greg DeMarco show. I am pretty sure. But if you don't, you should listen. One of our co-hosts there, Patrick O'Dowd, we are on the hunt to get him to 500 Twitter followers. It has not happened yet.
Work in progress.
Work in progress. But if you'd like to contribute to that, please follow Patrick on Twitter.
It's a sprint. It's a marathon. I mean, it's a marathon.
Yes. That's the way life is. But I said I had some actual wrestling to talk about, like from the gate, which is, you know, very different for me. But so much is happening. I want to get some of our opinions out there, our thoughts. We have Money in the Bank coming up this weekend, this Saturday or Sunday. Patrick O'Dowd will be there, so we'll be very excited to hear his thoughts next week. But I really wanted to reflect more on the go-home shows, plus talk a little bit about the Super Showdown. Did I even type that in right? Yes, that's
Super Showdown.
And you know, when you write something and you're like, that's not right, and it's still completely right, but it's not. Yes, it's the Super Showdown.
If you get confused about the name of the latest Jam in the Sand out in Saudi Arabia, just look back to the one they did in Australia last year. That'll give you a clue.
Yes, just copy paste the one in Australia, but it's not, because it's in a different place, different time. But there has been some matches that have already been announced by WWE, and some others that could be possibly floating around. Who knows? High pitch question mark. And if we have time, I'd like to talk about a few articles that mainstream articles out there about the WWE that recently came out. So actually, like, lots of good. Like, I haven't even started talking about any of this wrestling stuff, but I'm like super impressed with myself that I actually have like legit wrestling stuff to talk about today. So
it's a wrestling show this week.
Yes, it's a wrestling show, everyone. You came on a good day. You came on a good day. So I put together this little segment several shows ago called More or Less. Which Greg and I discussed some of the upcoming matches that are going to be happening in a pay-per-view. And with these SmackDowns and Raws, quote-unquote, the go-home shows, these Raws and SmackDowns are meant to really help get people interested in these upcoming matches and really push these stories kind of into the next level and really add interest and intrigue. But that doesn't always happen. So me and Greg are kind of going to ask, are we more interested in a storyline or in a match with the go-home show, or are we less interested? So the first one I really want to start off with, and this is, I think, is an easy one. I mean, this is really a softball toss, but I think this was the one that to me was the most captivating. More or less interested in both the Raw Women's Championship and SmackDown Women's Championship match. On Raw, Becky Lynch had a contract signing with both Charlotte and Lacey Evans, all three women in the ring, and they all went tit for tat. They all had, you know, their digs at each other, and finally, all of that ended when Becky Lynch got into some fisticuffs, which is a formal term for fighting, for all of you out there, fancy wording.
Educating masses is what you're doing
education.
Right now.
Education.
Doing the Lord's work.
Yes, with Lacey Evans and Charlotte. I mean, and essentially they both just were able to gang up on her and powerbombed her through a table. So that's how Becky Lynch's night ended, and both Lacey and Charlotte held up their respective potential titles. So, Greg, I wanted to get your thoughts on, I mean, obviously mine are more interested, but I'm curious to know, are you more or less interested in these two matches now?
I agree with you. I am more interested in these two matches because of the segment. I thought it was well done. We've seen contracts on it many times before. But this is, you know, outside of when Batista had to pick between two contracts, this one is really the first time where we had a double contract signing, and I thought it was really well done. It played to, and I wrote this in my three stars article over on thechairshot.com, cheap plug there. I thought it played to the strengths of all three women, and they all three shined in their own way. They all have very unique promo styles, and it worked for all three of them. Sometimes Becky's promo style doesn't work because she can downplay her opponents, and she did a great job of actually selling the danger that she's in because of her two opponents, and I thought that was impressive, and I liked that she opened up her promo that way. Charlotte is Charlotte, and I know where some people think that she puts them to sleep. Like, her slow, methodic promos really what she's doing right now, and I thought that was really well done. And Lacey is like I've said before, I'll say it again, I think no one in the WWE has as good of a handle on their character as Lacey Evans does, and she showed it yet again in her promo, and I think her game is elevated right now by being out there with Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. I think she's going to learn and grow at an exponential rate because of it, and you know, to sum things up, this promo definitely made me more excited for both of these matches than I was before it started.
I love the little digs that Becky had with Lacey and Charlotte, kind of comparing them physically, because I know that there was a lot of discussion about that when Lacey came out in the Royal Rumble. I know you and I, as we were sitting there watching the Women's Royal Rumble, the interaction between Lacey and Charlotte, one, we thought was, I mean, a big moment for Lacey being so early in her career, but one that I think a lot of us were surprised at, saying, we're not mad at this. This could actually be good. And so to jump from January to now, and now that they're not opponents, but they're in the same ring and they're fighting against Becky, it seemed like it brought me back to that moment when they were in the Women's Royal Rumble about, I'm not mad at this. This has a lot of great potential. And I know that it seems like it's been a little slow with Lacey doing more of her entrance thing and not really being in the ring, but it didn't take too long for, I think, fans to really, you know, remember what is interesting about Lacey Evans and how much potential she does have. So I think all those little things that they played upon worked really, really well in that promo. I'm definitely more excited to see both of those matches. I'm very interested to see how different that they are too. I mean, you have Becky and Charlotte, who have wrestled you know, almost hundreds of times at this point, and trying to see what they do to make this match different, where you have Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans, you know, fairly new, don't know what to expect. So how do you give the crowd, you know, something, you know, something that's memorable, but playing also, again, to the strengths that both of them have, without, you know, accentuating the strengths and minimizing the weaknesses. So, and the great words of Paul Heyman. So, other things that happened, and I start with those two because also some of the other matches were treated with the wild card treatment this week, because some of these storylines kind of intersected into both Raw and SmackDown. So,
wild card, bitches!
So I'll kind of talk a little bit more about the men's Money in the Bank match, because there was multiple matches that happened throughout Raw and SmackDown that, you know, have a role in how I feel about this. So the first match involving some of the competitors of the men's Money in the Bank match was Ricochet versus Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin won. You had originally Braun Strowman versus Drew McIntyre, which got changed to Braun Strowman versus Sami Zayn. And if Sami won, he would take Braun's place, which he did. So now Braun Strowman's out, Sami Zayn is back, or is in the Money in the Bank match. And then over on SmackDown, we had a fatal four-way, Finn Balor versus Ali, versus Randy Orton versus Andrade, with Andrade winning that. So based off of all those matches, I would say that the matches on Raw did get me a little bit more interested, just having Sami Zayn coming in. I wasn't necessarily thrilled about Braun being a part of the match this year just because he won last year. And I'm not one of those type of people where I necessarily need to see all new competitors every year. But I thought that because he's won, it would have been nice to bring in someone else. And they did with Sami Zayn. So I think that that's a really cool addition. And I think it will add a really great element to this match. But that was it up until the Fatal 4-Way. I thought that Fatal 4-Way was just a great match. Of course, you have some of the best wrestlers in the world in that match. And with Andrade winning, that to me kind of gave a little bit of an edge of, okay, you know, is he the man to be? You know, is he the person who could be winning the Money in the Bank? So after the Fatal 4-Way on SmackDown, I became more interested. Greg, what are you thinking with all of this wild cardness?
Yeah, the wild cardness, which definitely drives me crazy. So I just realized something that I hadn't really thought of until right now, as you were talking about, you know, the Raw and with Braun Strowman being replaced by Sami Zayn. And I realized, and I should have thought about this when we were doing our picks, because I think that we talked about how Sami is just there to get thrown by Braun. I don't think that's true. I think that Braun's probably going to more impact Drew McIntyre to set up something with those two that is a rumored match for Super Showdown. And I think so the Drew McIntyre pick might be hurt by Braun Strowman costing Drew McIntyre. Now, that doesn't mean he won't also throw Sami Zayn. He might even throw Sami Zayn into and through Drew McIntyre. Who knows? But I do think that Braun Strowman might be the reason Drew McIntyre does not win the Money in the Bank briefcase come Sunday. So, I mean, the Sami Zayn, everything that you said wouldn't change how I feel about the match. It wouldn't make me more or less. And because I hate ties, at that point I would say less, only because it wasn't more. However,
yeah,
putting, you know, Sami in the match does make me more excited for it, because Sami has done some crazy things in ladder matches. He's an amazing performer. I love Sami Zayn. So the addition of Sami Zayn does weigh that more heavily to the more side for me. The other ones were just kind of formulaic, as we've come to expect in a build to Money in the Bank. Heels going over and pretty much everything, which is normal as we build to a pay-per-view. And so, yeah, I'm basically for – I'm going to say more, though, because of the Sami Zayn replacement of Braun Strowman.
So going again with the wild card rule, wild card, bitches. As you can tell,
wild card, guys, bitches! Yeah!
So we have this kind of interaction happening again on both Raw and SmackDown. On Raw, you had Roman Reigns and The Miz team up versus Bobby Lashley and Elias, with Shane in Elias's corner somehow. I'm not quite sure what all that means. With Roman Reigns and The Miz winning by disqualification, people got involved. It was a mess. Then that followed over to SmackDown. Some of the interactions again happened, but also a 4-versus-3 handicap match. Shane, Elias, and Daniel Bryan and Roman versus Roman Reigns and the Usos, with Shane, Elias, and Daniel Bryan and Roman winning. Honestly, this is too messy, and I'm just left interested. I wasn't necessarily that thrilled about The Miz versus Shane having a rematch at Money in the Bank. I thought it should have ended at WrestleMania. And now with both Raw and SmackDown having multi-man matches involving Shane not in it, but distracting, it was just too messy for me. And I get it that Shane is meddling with The Miz, that he is, trying to, I don't even know what he's doing, to be honest. Like, I'm trying to be a good fan and, like, really, you know, believe in The Miz and really believe in this face turn for him. But he's just really a natural heel, so I have sometimes a problem with, especially this particular program with Shane, other than like, Shane's doing some, you know, ass moves, like beating up someone's dad, like, you know, that's rude. Don't beat up someone's dad. But then having Roman involved with Elias, like, it's just too much intertwining for me, and it made me less interested in both Shane and Miz and Roman and Elias. I think that that's also kind of a throwaway match. I think it is great that Roman is taking steps, building himself back up before getting to that main event level. And before, you know, people kind of give their feedback on that. If it was the other way around, if Roman would have jumped into the main event picture, I know that fans would have been upset that, oh, they already put him back into the main event. You know, they're doing what we've asked them to do, is take steps with Roman. And so I get it. Maybe not the execution we had all hoped for, but the plan is something that I think most fans are actually okay with. But these multi-man matches on both Raw and SmackDown, completely less interested in both of these matches.
It didn't do much for me. In all honesty, like, it didn't change how I feel about either match. This was really more about building to Roman versus Shane eventually, which is where we're headed. Elias as a corporate champion or as a corporate guy makes no sense whatsoever. Feels kind of shoehorned in there, and I think it's almost like they didn't have a better choice for what to do there. So I think that's why they put Elias in that position, which is great. Elevate Elias, whatever, but it just doesn't feel right. I think you're right, too. I think for a while there, we were always waiting for The Miz to turn heel. Now we're just waiting for The Miz to do whatever he's doing next. Like, this whole Miz versus Shane thing just needs to get over with. And, I mean, if anything made me more excited, it just made me more excited because we're one day closer to The Miz versus Shane being done. I think the match will be a fun. The actual match itself between The Miz and Shane McMahon in a steel cage, I believe, will be entertaining. I'm just ready for that thing to be over once that match is over. Like, that needs to be the blow off. Miz wins. We move on. And the same with Roman. Like, Roman versus Elias. If they fight after this pay-per-view, that will suck. I don't want to see that again. It can be a short feud. Get it over with. Let Elias move on and do something else. Over. There's a lot of people. Elias could be with Mustafa Ali, and it would be very entertaining.
Yeah.
There's a lot you could do over on SmackDown with Elias and some of the talent they have over there. So, it didn't really excite me. And of course, now we've got the Usos challenging Daniel Bryan, Eric Rowan, whatever. It's on the kickoff. Great. One of those teams is from Raw anyway. So it doesn't make me all excited there either. So I would say less for both of those. Now I do have to just warn you, we have a little bit of a surprise. We have a run-in, so to speak, where this might be your first ever caller on the Hashtag
Mohammed
Show.
It is my first ever caller. I didn't even know I took calls until you just told me this 2 seconds ago.
I didn't know either. So, yeah. So we are going to welcome a very well-known personality from thechairshot.com. In fact, he is the voice behind many of our work, including this.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
That is the MVP himself, Mr. Velvet Pipes, at the Real C Platt on the Twitter, the one and only Christopher Platt.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Do not adjust your listening devices. Sound the trumpets and alert the townspeople. Tis I, Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, Christopher Platt, making a run-in on The Miranda Show. And first and foremost, I have to say, shout out to Mr. DeMarco. Anytime we get to link up, it's like Batman and Superman getting together, so it's all love. and more importantly, shout out to Ms. Miranda. Like, I'm low-key a Miranda Mark, so this is a moment for me right now.
Did you just say you were a Miranda Mark?
I certainly did. I am a Miranda Mark.
You know what that
means?
Oh, hey, Mark.
Well, my cry, two tears in the bucket. Fuck it, I said it. One of the reasons that I love you is that I think that it's very refreshing to have a feminine voice talking about the wild, wonderful, wacky, weird world of wrestling, and I think that we need more of that in the world. So I think it's totally cool to have a cool-ass chick talking about wrestling. So, yes, I'm a Miranda Mark. So hashtag Miranda, and shout-out to Miranda.
Thank you, Christopher. That's, like, the coolest thing that has ever happened to me on the face of this earth. It is an honor to have the voice of the Chair Shot come in and actually say all those wonderful things. I'm just shocked, but also honored, humbled, you know, bow down to you. I really greatly appreciate that. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, the pleasure is all mine, dear. Seriously.
Oh, my gosh. This is like, I could die right now. Not that I want to, but, like, this is it. Like, this should be it. Like, if you're going to do it now, then just do it, God, because, like, this is how I want to go out. So, with all the nice things being said to me, but, no,
Mark.
I greatly, you know, I'm marking out for God or for, I'm not quite sure what I'm marking out for, but the point is, to have thechairshot.com give me this opportunity has been everything, and to be, you know, in the presence of the voice of the Chair Shot is awesome. Thank you so much for listening. I didn't know that you listened. This is so crazy. I think I'm just more in shock than anything. While I have you on the phone, Christopher Platt, I would like to get your thoughts and views on our segment that we're doing right now, more or less. Do you have a few moments?
Of course. Yes, please.
Yeah, so we were recently talking about more or less, you know, are you more or less excited after the Go Home Show and some of these segments for Money in the Bank about either of these matches? We were just recently talking about Miz versus Shane and Roman Reigns versus Elias. After watching both Raw and SmackDown this week, are you more or less excited about their matches?
That's interesting. So I'm going to start with Miz and Shane, which my blackness would dictate that the match that I'm most looking forward to would be Kevin Owens and Kofi Kingston. So I just had to throw that out there. But the match that I'm, honestly most looking forward to is the Miz and Shane cage match. I'm really looking forward to that. Like, this has been a storyline that has gone all the way back to Jam in the Sand Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. And they've been building it this entire time. and, you know, they had their WrestleMania match. I feel as if I liked that match more than most people did. And I'm looking forward to what they're going to do because, you know, Shane is going to do some crazy shit trying to gain business love. So, yeah. You know, that's going to happen. And I really dig Babyface Miz. I really think that there's money in that.
Yes. You know, that's a good point. Parents, love your children enough so that they don't feel like they have to jump off things for your love and attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a really good public service announcement, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I tried.
and what was the other match that you brought up?
The other was Roman Reigns versus Elias.
I like Elias. I really do. I don't know where they're going to go with this. I think that they see money in Elias somewhere, somehow, and I do as well. He's deceptively big. You don't realize how big he is until he takes his shirt off and you see, oh, this is mm-hmm. a big Melon Farmer. So, mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily looking forward to that match. I think that Roman is going to go over. But the fact that Elias, the spots that they have put Elias in, and he's for the duration of this feud, he's been tethered to the McMahon. So I think that lets you know that they see big things in his particular future. But I think ultimately, I think Roman is going to go over here. I'm not necessarily that excited about this match, but it could be a good match. Who knows? I mean, this card is stacked, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. It is a large, just a big card. And I think, again, we're still getting over WrestleMania in the hours and hours it was. So to have a card that is smaller but still pretty substantial, I think is still surprising. One last one that I'd like to get all of your opinions on is the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. This past Monday on Raw, we had a fatal four-way between Naomi, Natalia, Dana Brooke, and Nikki Cross, who came in after some kind of luggage issue that Alexa Bliss had. It was kind of an odd interaction between Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. I wasn't quite sure how this happened, but Nikki Cross ends up winning. And when I think about this now, my gut may be telling me, is Alexa even going to make it to Money in the Bank? Is this kind of a sign that Nikki Cross is going to step in and maybe pull a Becky Lynch and, you know, Alexa can't compete? There's a spot. Give it to me. I'm not quite sure. So Dana Brooke's performance, I think something that a lot of people have been talking about is very impressive. However, still with all those elements, I'm unfortunately still feeling a bit underwhelmed coming into this women's Money in the Bank match. And I don't know if it's just, I don't want to say lack of star power, because you have some great women competing in this match. And of course, it's not the buildup like the first one had. And you don't have necessarily some of the same key players as you've had in the past with, Sasha Banks or Charlotte or some of these other, players coming in. But I just feel like there hasn't been a lot of stories other than just promos being shot about this, and I'm not feeling really engaged with the women being involved in this match. So I'm going to say I'm less excited about this match from Monday. Gentlemen, either one of you have any thoughts?
Go ahead, Glenn.
I agree with you. I'm less excited coming out of Monday's Raw. Alexa Bliss is interesting because I really love her as a character, but seeing as how she's like, 3'12", it's hard for me to buy her as a credible women's wrestler. I think she would be better served. I know WWE isn't big on managers, but I think that she would be better served in the managerial role. Like, for the longest, I really wish her and Braun would hook up. And she would be the brains behind the Braun, pun intended. You know what I mean? And Braun would just do whatever the hell she wants him to do, and just do her bidding. You know what I mean? Just like dance,
so basically,
fucking dance, that type of thing.
Art imitating life is what you'd like to see. If you believe the rumors.
If you believe the rumors in any window, shout out to Uncle Bruce. Yes, that's exactly what I would want to see. As far as this Money in the Bank goes, I was listening to the Greg DeMarco show before we started recording this, and both you and Patrick O'Dowd, who oddly sounds like Better Call Saul. So shout out to Patrick and yes. shout out to Bob Odenkirk, who
yes.
is the actor that plays Saul Goodman. But you all made a really compelling case for Dana Brooke, and I could see that happening because they have been building her character up, you know, in the past few months. That being said, I think Mandy Rose is going to take this one, and she's going to take the Carmella Memorial Women's Money in the Bank role. I think that's how this is going to go.
Mandy. To answer the question, I am more, only because of Dana Brooke. I am more excited for the match because of what they did with Dana Brooke this week. As I said before, Dana to me has the potential to fill the role that we haven't seen filled since 2017, when this person got it.
Shut up!
And I don't know. That's my gut instinct. That's why I picked her to win. But if not for what they did this week with Dana Brooke, I don't think I'd be more excited for the match at all. It's kind of lackluster on the Raw side, but this is the time of year where you give people opportunity. I think Alexa will be in the match. I think that the whole luggage thing is probably real because they did travel internationally. I could see Nikki Cross interfering, maybe even trying to help Alexa win. Maybe it backfires. Who knows? But I don't think that that Nikki Cross will be in the match, at least not officially. Who knows? Maybe she comes in and gets the briefcase. Who the hell knows? Maybe, never know. Never know what might happen. But based on what they did solely because of Dana Brooke, I would say more. Otherwise, I would say less.
So one thing that nobody's talking about is the fact that Mickie James is off of Monday Night Raw. So she's no longer the Monday Night MILF. So what, she's on SmackDown now. So what is she, the Tuesday Night Thought? Like, how does that work?
She might be okay with that. She was
who knows? I think they may have moved her specifically because of that. They may have said, we can't take any chances. We got to move her
Tuesday. Yeah, they requested the T-shirt, and she got immediately moved over. Vince probably doesn't even know what Monday Night MILF. Actually, Vince would know what that stands for. It's almost like, okay, so a couple of years ago, several years ago now, we had Nikki Rocks on our show, which of course was in TNA. She was Roxy Laveau, and she wore a shirt for a while after she had her head shaved because she lost her hair in a hair versus hair match, whatever. She wore a shirt for several weeks on television that said, "No curtains, no carpet." And she wore it week after week. And she had to stop wearing it like a month later because someone finally told Dixie Carter what the shirt meant because Dixie didn't know. And that just made me so happy when I heard that story. Which she told Patrick.
I wouldn't be surprised that Dixie didn't know. I mean, I'd be surprised on the things that she would know.
Yeah, I'm not
that's
surprised.
Funny. That's funny. Yeah. But I don't oppose carpet as long as it's well upholstered. Like, I'm not against carpet. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
This is every week, this show. This is.
This is why it's late nights. This is the late night show.
It's listed as
the
late night show.
The anchor of the late night show of the chair
shot.
That's
right.
Who knew?
Vlad, before you go. Because we only get to have you on, you and I on together, I know you love it when it's played, so here you go.
America, 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 fuck yeah, coming again to save the motherfucking day, yeah, America, fuck yeah, freedom is the only way, yeah, terrorists, your game is
through. All right, we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Christopher. It was an honor. The honor's all mine. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you all for having me. Seriously, I really do appreciate it so much. Hashtag Miranda, keep doing your thing. DeMarco, you already know what it is. I'm Christopher Platt. Zip it up and zip it out.
All right, there we go. Good old Christopher Platt jumping on.
Yeah.
America, fuck yeah.
I was going to say, we'll give him access to the VIP line. So next time, whenever he wants to call. He can call into the VIP line.
Same number as everything else, yeah. But he can have that access.
Well, yeah, I mean, he can have that access. They didn't know we didn't have a VIP line Man.
Yes, he actually has the VIP. I know. Kayfabe, sorry.
Yes. Yeah, put the soundbite in. Put in the soundbite. Whichever one. So I'm thinking about doing my own version of quick hits, just to try and stay on time. Again, try is the ample word because, the rambling goes on.
Do you want the quick hits soundbite? Do you want the music?
If you want the sound, just go ahead.
It's your show. It's not if I want anything, it's what you want.
Yes, go ahead and do the quick hit soundbite. Yes.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
As quick as this is going to go, who knows? I'd like to talk about the Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia. Several matches have been announced from WWE. There will be a match including Triple H versus Randy Orton. Cool, haven't seen that before. I've been seeing it again a million times. And a 15-man battle royale, the largest in WWE history. That could be interesting, only because how are you going to, of course not all 50 are going to be there at the same time, but it's sure going to be fun to watch them all fit in. That's going to be hilarious. But the big match announced for the Super Showdown is, for the first time ever, Goldberg versus The Undertaker. And many fans are pretty shocked to see this. There had been some rumblings about Bill Goldberg participating in the Super Showdown. We haven't seen him in over a year, and so it's a pretty big deal for him to be part of this show. And a lot of curiosity about who he would be facing. There was a lot of speculation it could be someone kind of on the active roster, and I would say it was a pretty big swerve to get Undertaker. He is someone that we really haven't seen. He didn't even wrestle at WrestleMania. That was a huge shock. So to have him wrestle for the Super Showdown is kind of a big shock instead. Money can make you do anything at this point. One thing though, there really isn't a lot of first time evers left. So it is kind of special to have this, and I can understand fans who may not support WWE when they are with, this particular venture that they have in Saudi Arabia. But at the same time, I think it is a really interesting way for them to not only continue storylines, but to do these one-offs. Almost it's an experiment. To kind of do matches that they never really do, and have programs that maybe you would have never even thought of. And it is pretty much a one-off. They may build up to it a little bit as they get along to it, but also you may not need the build-up because it is almost a once-in-a-lifetime. It is, the first time ever. How much building do you really need? I feel like it builds itself. But Greg, I know you've talked about this on Driving with DeMarco and on the Chair Shot. But why don't you tell some of the hashtag Miranda Show fans some of your thoughts about this particular match?
To me, it's very typical of what they do on these shows. It's a house show for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia that we happen to get to watch. I'm more okay with this match here than I would be anywhere else in today's WWE. I don't feel like they're taking anybody's spot, because this show kind of exists in this weird space anyway. I think it'll be fun. It's going to be in a giant stadium. You're going to have all the lights and the pomp and circumstance and everything else, and I think it's the right environment to do it. I'm going to watch. I'm not going to feel bad about watching this show, despite the fact that it's in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And I will enjoy it. It's this match is more about the entrances and the stories these guys are going to tell. The afternoon Driving with DeMarco will come out here in a little bit. And when people listen to this, it'll already be out. PC Tunney and I, we always do the Tuesday PM drive together, and we talked about this, and he made a great point. these guys will probably tell a better story during their match than 90% of the card, the rest of the card at Super Showdown. So to me, I think let these guys, you know, see the Masters at work, enjoy it for what it is, because you couldn't have gotten it, you know, back when they were in their prime because they were in different companies. Let's just sit back and enjoy it, because I enjoy it for what it is. Is it a nostalgia act? Yes. Is that okay? Totally fine. And I'm on board with it. I'm excited for it. And I think this is the right setting to do it in.
That's nice, Greg. But, I mean, this wouldn't be the hashtag Miranda show without kind of throwing you a curveball. So I would love for you to explain to the people why this Super Showdown is such a terrible idea, and why is Goldberg versus Taker just such why it's going to be such a terrible match.
Okay. So you ever played Name That Tune?
Name That Tune? Not recently, but I've heard of it for sure.
You know, it's like I can name that tune in, you know, seven notes. I can name that tune, whatever. I can answer that question in three words.
Okay.
Actually, I won't. I'll say four words because I won't even use the apostrophe that I would have to use to make it three words. Okay. Do I have your permission to answer in four words?
Yes.
I used 20 words to get to the four words, but I'm just glad that I – okay. All I need to tell you, all I need to do to solve your argument is very simple. It is not Sting.
Well, I mean, damn, is that not a good answer? I mean
– I know. It's like I actually gave you a real answer for once.
Yeah, it was a legit real answer, not a fake one. But
because that's the match everybody wants to see. And what's really funny is that despite all the hatred that people are spewing over, you know, Goldberg versus The Undertaker, if it were Sting, people would be loving the crap out of it.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, people would think it was the greatest thing ever.
And I think there still is some of that, like, why isn't that happening here in the United States? I mean, that I get as well. Maybe you could have saved that for a WrestleMania. How you got there, I don't know. But, I mean, I think people, luckily he did come up on Monday Night Raw. But I do think that, especially now, that people have been so invested and accustomed to seeing the Undertaker at WrestleMania. You mentioned about entrances. I think people just pay money to watch an Undertaker just come in. I mean, it
to
may
watch
be
a slow,
100...
leisurely stroll.
Yeah, I think for some people it is very much like almost like a wrestling milestone as a fan. To
I'm
going to
pay
of...
$400 to watch an old guy walk. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, you know, you could watch someone on the street do it for free or pay $400, but you don't have as much smoke and the gongs. I mean, the gongs.
Depending on where you are, maybe if you're in Chinatown, you could pull that off. I don't
maybe.
Know. There's options. I will say this. Goldberg, by the way, 52 years old. Sting, 60 years old. So, again,
yeah, that's
hypocritical internet. Hypocritical internet with their take.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is. We are fickle fans. But we'll probably watch it. Most of you who may not still be on the fence on it or you know, may not watch it live will probably watch it on YouTube, or, you know, you're going to be a part of it one way or another. So, you know, just live with what your role is in this. Because if you are be against it. Don't even read articles. Don't even watch YouTube clips. Don't even listen to this part
of
the show. Fast forward.
Cancel your network subscription.
Yeah, cancel.
At least for June.
Because if you're all in, you know, not just the event, be all in your fandom and
I will say this. So if we can get it, let's just say a Jam in the Sand four. By the way, that Jam in the Sand does come from Christopher Blatt, going back to this time last year when the first Jam in the Sand happened. If we were to somehow get the Undertaker versus Sting at Jam in the Sand four, and this is we will get this match in my opinion at one of these shows, just because they'll run out of these Undertaker dream matches to do with these shows. So say we get Undertaker versus Sting at Jam in the Sand four, can I then get Goldberg versus Ryback? Like, that's the match I want to see. I want to see old Goldberg versus who should have been new Goldberg, and especially when Ryback started wearing the black trunks. Like, that's what I want to see. So if I can get Goldberg versus Ryback in Saudi Arabia, I will be a happy person.
I mean, I would say why, but there's just not enough time in this particular show to go into that. So maybe on a different show, different day, we'll go more into that particular fantasy booking. Because that's a lot. That's a lot for me to process. Ryback versus Goldberg. Sure. My next quick hit involves a article.
Oh, wait, you can't just say my next quick hit. We actually have to properly transition to the
next. Oh, we do.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
So, kind of not so much on the level that Patrick O'Dowd does his bullshit news, but I do think that this particular headline is a little bit misleading as you get into the full story, but it is one that I found online. It's actually an interview that Ronda Rousey had with Megan O'Leary, I believe from the UFC, when she talks about the headline itself. It says, Rousey, mental stress of MMA outweighs physicality of WWE. And I think my first thought was maybe wrestling fans kind of jumping to conclusions about what she's downplaying wrestling. She's saying that it's, you know, not challenging enough, or she likes MMA more. But as you go through the article, and it's actually a video that's available online on YouTube, she talks about the differences between MMA, kind of her preparation and her day-to-day in MMA compared to wrestling. And quoting directly from her, she says that the difference between MMA and wrestling, it's physical in a different way. The stress from fighting is much, much more. She said, someone could walk into this room right now and I'll beat the F out of anyone in this planet, but it's the training camp, the weeks leading up to it, the press, and just going to sleep every night thinking about it, all those things. She mentions as kind of being more of the experience of MMA. And she said, in comparison with WWE, it's just a grind and it's nonstop. She said that she had it easy with her WWE career, and especially because she didn't have the same type of training. She didn't have to go through the long, extensive training that people do in the performance center and on the independents. And so she realizes, in quotes directly, I did the easy version. Everyone else does 300 days a year. Their bodies don't get as much rest as ours do in MMA, but their minds do get a lot more than we do in MMA. I feel like there's no pressure in anything. So there is a little bit of acknowledgement in that she did, her wrestling experience of preparation and training is very different than other wrestlers, but overall there's this consistent mentality that you have to have in MMA, which I honestly believe in. It is good. It's mixed martial arts. It's a competitive sport where you are constantly training yourself to fight an opponent that you don't really know what their second move, you know, what they're going to be doing. Whereas in professional wrestling, it is a lot more planned out in training. However, I do think that in professional wrestling, it is more about yourself and knowing who you are and your abilities and your persona. And that can be very draining as well. And I don't know if Ronda did spend a lot of time on that because she was just herself. So her character was just not even an extension of herself, I think. It was just herself and kind of figuring out ways to really add elements in both the face character, but also kind of the heel character that we saw come out in the end. And I feel like if there was more attention paid to that, maybe her mentality in training would have been a little bit different. But I understand, still not very physically, or not as physically demanding. And she talks also about her preparation in MMA, but also one of the reasons why she has decided or did go into the WWE was because this is a less stressful career than MMA was. And we knew that from just the conversations that she's had and the things that she set out in the press and in the public. And so she's going to this because she wants to do something different than MMA. And now she's taking a hiatus for personal reasons, because I think she's kind of not completely forever done, but, you know, I mean, she's lived a really hectic life with training for the Olympics, for MMA, and now for wrestling now, for a combination of many, many years. And so it is, understandably so, a good time for her to rest. But I can see how some wrestling fans may perceive this as somewhat of a negative dig at WWE, when in reality, I think it's just her experience as someone who came to WWE not needing all of that rigorous training, and maybe not needing, that's probably not the best word, but not going through that training, but also elements of training that I think were missed when it came to her as a persona, as a character, that I wish were explored a little bit more. So, Greg, I didn't send you this link. I throw this on you? I don't know if you Googled it or know what this article is, but I'm just kind of curious on if you have any thoughts about what Rhonda said about the comparison between MMA and WWE.
No, I'm just kidding. Of course I have thoughts. Thoughts are what we do on these shows. They're just two different worlds. Like, you can't really even compare the two, and it's easy to make the comparison because one is, you know, at the basic, uneducated level. One's real fighting, one's fake fighting, right? That's what people look at it as.
Hey,
it is
predetermined. There's nothing fake about
again,
it, buddy.
That's why I said the uneducated level. That's why I said you are at the educated level.
You
other
call
people.
Me stupid? I'll fight you. I'll fight you, Greg. I don't care what anyone says. I'll fight you.
Okay, whatever. But, so, no, you sound like a fan, though. See? That's exactly.
Hey, where's that mark button when you need it?
I'm actually sending you something better than that. But, so anyway, as I move forward with this topic, and that's my way of transitioning so I can make sure I'm thinking properly, I think that she's right in the sense that it is more mentally demanding to be a UFC fighter, because when you lose, you really lose. You don't lose because someone booked you to lose. You don't lose because a sheet of paper said you lost. You lose because someone beat you, and you get it in your head, and you train. And sometimes you train for 3 to 6 months, and the only thing you think about for 3 to 6 months is winning. And then you lose. Like, I don't even know what to compare that mental anguish to. And so I have to side with her on that. With wrestling, you might lose, and then you might go the next night and lose, and the next night and lose. And then you're in a six-man tag, and you don't even take the fall or win the fall. And then you're at TV, but you're not on TV because you're working a dark match, and you're in catering. Like, just completely different worlds. And I kind of liken it to a reality show. Like let me give you – I've had this conversation with many people. The Bachelor, okay? I'm assuming you've watched The Bachelor. I mean, come on. Like,
no, actually, I don't. I have not really watched. I mean, I understand the premise of the show, but I have not watched it.
You've never watched The Bachelor? I'm
no.
surprised. Okay. So anyway, the women typically on there are not portrayed in the most positive way possible. They are oftentimes portrayed in a very negative way that's probably not the way that women should be portrayed. But if you think about their situation, when they're not on their date or whatever with the Bachelor or interacting with the Bachelor, they're in a house with the other women. They're talking about the Bachelor. They're talking about being on the Bachelor and what event is next. And they're fully immersed in nothing but – they're cut off from the world outside of this experience. And that's typically what it's like training and preparing and going through a fight camp. And so, yeah, when it all comes to a head and when the Bachelor doesn't hand these women a rose, they break down and they lose it. And of course the camera's right there in their face. And when you train for 6 months and all you can think about is beating somebody across the cage in a fight, and then they beat you or you tap out to them. That's a kind of mental anguish that I can't really put into words other than just painting the picture of what happens. So for that regard, I do think she's right. I think wrestling is more physically demanding because it's 300 days a year. You're on the road 300 days a year. You're typically wrestling 200, 250 days a year. So when you have international tours, you might be gone for 2 to 3 weeks, wrestling every single night. So, you know, there's a great interview out there that I'm going to talk about this week on Driving with DeMarco with Jinder Mahal, where he talks about how he – the changes he had to make to get back into WWE and to be successful. And he talked about the lifestyle and you know, getting a little sleep but still going to the gym and all stuff you have to do. So, yeah, physically and you know, emotionally it might be a little more draining to be a wrestler, but the mental anguish that's involved being a UFC fighter is probably unmatched by professional wrestling. So I think she's right in that regard.
Very, yeah, very true. It is just two very, very different worlds. And so her interview is available on YouTube for anyone interested in listening to it. And again, I don't think it's anything of malice. So if you see any news stories jumping the gun on it, watch the video first before making any decisions on, you know, how you're interpreting Ronda's, you know, level of wrestling. The last thing, so you
bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
There we go. So the last article I wanted to talk about is actually something that is on the front cover of Variety magazine, which is a entertainment magazine that focuses on more on, from my understanding, very limited, which, you know, I don't know. I just see what the internet is, but it's a magazine dedicated to entertainment, music, TV, movies, and also more of the behind the scenes, you know, understanding, you know, production companies and things like that. I'm not sure. The point is, the latest cover of Variety magazine is a picture of Vince McMahon with his own WWE Championship belt right around his shoulder, with the title King of the Ring. Vince McMahon brings the WWE to broadcast the biggest stage. And it's a pretty interesting article that talks a bit about where WWE has been over specifically the past 18 months. They talked about how WWE has been on a quote-unquote growth rampage during the past 18 months. Its stocks have gone up a considerable amount. It talks about the TV deal between Fox and how that deal helped WWE negotiate kind of a higher deal with NBC for Raw. Talks a little bit about, you know, the character of Vince McMahon, but also him being kind of a savvy businessman. But it really talks about WWE as a very traditional business. There was a very interesting quote from a media analyst for Guggenheim Securities, which I had to look up because I was not sure what that was, which is an investment banking and capital markets firm that talks about how WWE is a low-risk, high-return media company, that the company has very little debt, and that the risk to earnings in terms of a recession is low, essentially that the company seems to be immune to the event of an economic downturn. And you may be wondering why, you know, so what's the big deal? It really, to me, was a shining light of WWE, and I think especially Vince McMahon, views the company as an entertainment company that just happens to focus on wrestling. I think for many, many years, this was a, you know, a professional wrestling promotion, a professional wrestling company, but especially how much the company has grown since, you know, the development of the network, even branching out to WWE Studios, all its different ventures, everything else that it does. It's really helped me, and this article, though, especially has helped me see that it is an entertainment company that just happens to do pro wrestling. And I think that mindset is helpful to me as a fan when there is that frustration of why isn't WWE focusing on this, or why are their storylines so inconsistent? As much as there is a focus on the product itself, that is not, to me, seeming their main priority. Their main priority is running an entertainment company, being able to work with advertisers and bring in revenue and work on other projects and ventures to bring in, you know, alternative revenue streams. And, you know, I understand that there's a lot of conversation and uproar about their ratings, about, you know, the quality of the product and all these things, but that's not what their focus is. And I think the more that you realize that, almost a sense of peace that you get over, I don't know, it just happened to me where I just feel like I have a little bit more of a piece of this is just what they happen to do. And I'm sure there's still a love for this business, but it's not the priority. And once you kind of sift through that, it is more like, oh, this is why they're doing things. It's more to bring in more advertisers, to bring in more money, to be able to reach international audiences. And there's been some really good advantages of what they've been able to do, where they've been able to, you know, do more international shows and be able to broadcast to more international audiences, which in turn I think has brought in, you know, this bigger desire to bring in more international wrestlers and possibly open more performance centers. But I think it's more to bring in international companies and advertisers to work with the WWE than it is to produce an international product, if that makes any sense. But one interesting thing, and probably the quote that they really that stood out here, is Vince saying in the beginning of the article about, you know, what the WWE is and kind of what he struggles with, or what sometimes the company struggles with as a whole, is he quoted saying, "So few people understand what we do and how we do it," which I think is true. As much as we like to think we have this insider's peek because of the fact that this is, you know, it's predicted, it's you know, rehearsed. Fake is not a term I like to use personally, because I don't like to disrespect the business like that, Greg. But
here we go again.
Here we go. We like to think we know, but I honestly think that we don't. And so I think, too, there is almost this struggle in identity with this company started as a professional wrestling company, but it's evolved into so many things. So I do think that, you know, the typical, you know, consumer of this, that – You know WWE for wrestling, but it's just much more than that. It's evolved into that much more than that. So I think in some ways the company is trying to sometimes move away from being a wrestling company and moving away from wrestling, even though that is the product that they produce on a weekly basis. It's not, I don't think, something that they want to necessarily be remembered as the only thing that they do. So sometimes I think we think that we know what's going on, but we really don't. But also as a fan, I do get concerned of, you know, isn't that the problem, that people don't know what you do because you're trying to be too many things to too many people? If you stuck with one thing, or if you stuck on what you were good at, then that would help bring an audience to you instead of trying to be so many different things, trying to do WWE, trying to do, you know, all these different, you know, ventures, even the XFL, even though that still remains to be seen, you know, as the acronym says, keep it simple, stupid, you know. But again, without expanding, then we wouldn't have all those nice things. So it's very much a catch-22. Greg, I'm not sure if you had a chance to read the article, but with the, you know, just a few minutes that we have, I'm curious to see what your thoughts on seeing Vince McMahon on the cover of Variety magazine.
I did read the article. I was a good boy. Someone told me I should be prepared, so I was. But really, it's interesting to me because it covers WWE as a form of entertainment, first and foremost, and Vince McMahon is like the head of an entertainment conglomerate. That's what he is. And yeah, it's interesting because, you know, they're going after all these different things, and they're not just focusing on wrestling. But that's why they are where they are, and they wouldn't be there otherwise. I think it's more – the biggest struggle that I see is that so many of the fans that have the reaction that they do to WWE or the opinion that they have of WWE, they simply don't know what they're watching a lot of times. And they think they're watching one thing, but really WWE is presenting to them another. And what makes WWE so different is they produce 52 weeks of basically live television, two different shows now. So 104 live TV shows or live to tape, you know, on occasion, per year. No one else does that. Like literally no one else does that. No one in the world produces what WWE produces, and that's why they're so, you know, different. That's why they can get away with a creative process that maybe isn't ideal, or house shows that aren't drawing the way they used to. If you think about their house show business as like a touring, you know, entertainment show, what other entertainment show that could be touring nonstop going back to, let's just say, 1985 when Vince planned the first WrestleMania? You know, we're talking about 36 years of touring nonstop. Of course, the audience size is going to vary and change from time to time. Like, everyone looks at today, but they don't look at, you know, how things are historically. Same with the ratings. I mean, the ratings are lower in number, but, you know, this week alone, Raw was number 1, 2, and 3 in the top 5. And you can't get any higher than that. So, and of course, they signed the $1 billion deal. And both deals combined over a 5-year period are worth $2.3 billion between the two companies. So that's just insane.
That's lots
and
of money. That's
lots
of
money.
Money.
Yeah, like
lots
I like to
money.
Point out
so,
all the time, billions with a B. So what's weird to me is that Vince is like, the pictures didn't help. Like
no,
just,
no.
The
you
top
have,
two pictures
go,
of the article, I'm like.
Go onto the right. It does look like the Mr. McMahon of yesteryear almost. So the front cover of this magazine has him holding, you know, the WWE,
right.
You know, title belt. And in some of the other videos or the other pictures, one is like, you know, he's just not very photogenic, like legit not photogenic with current pictures. And then they also throw in some funny pictures of when he was in that feud with Donald Trump and stuff like that. So, like, yeah, the pictures do not help. There's a nice picture of him with Roman Reigns, you know, because they're best friends. Charlotte Flair has a picture. Yeah, they're best friends. I don't know. I mean, it's actually a very nice picture. But that's the nicest picture of him in that entire article is him just casually talking with Roman Reigns. The ones that they actually, like, produced for this article are junk.
They're terrible. Well, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
They're absolutely – like, the top two – not the cover one, but the top two pictures,
top two,
like the featured,
like
the featured image as in the publishing, you know, web publishing.
Those aren't
business.
The mistakes. Like, those were the nice ones that you picked for instead of.
Yeah.
Anyways, it just
like especially the one on the right where he's like leaning with his mouth. Like what is that? Like, are you
trying to wink? Like, can you wink? Can you not wink? Then why wink? Why?
And it's either just heavily touched up, like over touched up. Or we didn't realize that Vince had some work done on his face to try to look young. And like the cover
of
the magazine.
We haven't seen a close up of his face in a while. So you know what? I don't doubt it. A little
Botox
didn't hurt anyone.
The picture of the magazine cover, it looks like his face is melting off like his bone structure. It's just strange. But he's Vince. And with, you know, without WWE and without all the things that this article talks about, All Elite Wrestling would never have happened. Most of these indie shows that we talk about and go to and support and whatever wouldn't happen. Like, as goes WWE, so does the wrestling business. And if something were to ever happen and WWE were to be gone, most of what people enjoy outside of WWE would eventually go away too. And that's what people, you know, as much as they hate WWE, they're also unintentionally or unknowingly taking it for granted.
Yes. It's very true. One big thing that I got out of this article that I will eventually incorporate into a future hashtag Miranda show is that they did talk about with the Fox deal that there's going to be cross promotion. So you're going to see WWE superstars on Fox products, which means maybe there's crossover episodes. You see WWE superstar on maybe one of your Fox, you know, favorite Fox shows. I will do a whole episode dedicated on fantasy booking. Which wrestlers do I want to see on Fox TV? Because that writes itself. I mean, you know, where do you... You can have, you know, Charlotte Flair on an episode of... what is on Fox anymore? I don't even know. If, like, John Cena on The Simpsons? I mean, come on. That'd be kind of you know, mm-hmm. hilarious. Maybe on one of their more dramatic shows, was it like 9-1-1? Maybe you have, you know, Roman Reigns doing his chopping, you know, some kind of acting on there. Who knows? Maybe The Miz actually can act again, since that's his whole gimmick, is that he's an actor, but he's really not. You know, there's so many things, but I have to actually look. That's how bad I'm at. I don't even know what's on Fox anymore. But I could probably spend a whole episode of the Hashtag Miranda Show just talking about which wrestlers I want to see on Fox programming. But that's also, again, the beauty of what WWE is now, especially with this deal, is they can have that cross-promotion, and they'll be able to bring more fans in by just having the format of Fox shows available. And they're going to still be making lots of money. So when it's more of a moment of realization. The moment you realize really what WWE is in the grand scheme of things, it is, you know, an entertainment company, then you can kind of make a little bit more peace with the things that they're not. That they're not necessarily focusing on, you know, consistency in their storylines, or, you know, even, you know, who they're deciding to push one week or another, or the writing, even though those are all important elements, their focus is somewhere else. And as fans, we either kind of have to, you know, live a little bit with what we're seeing. Now, not necessarily be complacent, because I do think that there's a time and a place when fans' voices should be heard and should be, you know, should be spoken, but at the end of the day, you're going to fool yourself to thinking that WWE at this point is going to reshift their whole focus into wrestling. If anything, it's going to continue to be chopped up by all these other ventures and these projects and these opportunities, and you kind of either get with it or you decide to spend your money, spend your time somewhere else. And there you have a product like AEW there, who can maybe meet your needs as a wrestling fan. So, you know, make a little bit of peace with it, or don't. But take a look at it for what it really is. So that's my lessons to all of you tonight. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the jam-packed edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. Again, I am truly honored and humbled to have this opportunity to have a show on the Chairshot Radio Network. It truly is, I'm in the best company of wrestling podcasts on the internet. It truly is. If you want to listen to some of the best podcasts out there on wrestling news, opinions, please go ahead to thechairshot.com. There's tons of podcasts, articles, news stories, everything. It's everything. It's not like a conglomerate, but it's like one of the best collections of news available. So do yourself a favor, go to thechairshot.com. Do not forget, you can support the Chairshot through prowrestlingtees.com. There's some new shirts that were going to be available on prowrestlingtees.com. There are two new shirts, actually, that are available. A new Chairshot shirt plus a new one. Would you like to give a sound clip to the people so that they know that I can kind of tease a little bit about what the second shirt is about?
Sure. I would be happy to.
Suck it, nerd.
Yes, and it is suck it, nerds. If you heard something else, you're wrong.
That's on you if you heard something else, people. That's on you.
Yes, yes.
Suck it, nerd.
Yeah, suck it, nerds. Yes, that is the second newest shirt available on the Chairshot shop at prowrestlingtees.com. Suck it, nerd. Which I will wear the crap out of that shirt. I love it. I love it already. I was a fan of Reagan Gallows and Anderson with their nerds comment. Like, I would say that pretty often. So now I feel like I finally have a t-shirt that speaks to me.
Fucking nerd.
Fucking nerd. But if maybe that particular particular shirt doesn't speak to you, there's definitely a plethora available. We have the hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling. Of course, the OG, the chair shot, always use your head. Chair shot 316, Baron Corbin sucks. Jesus did the job. I mean, lots of great shirts available on ProWrestlingTees.com. So make sure you check it out. And the cool kids, get a cool shirt. I mean, I'm not telling you how to live your life, but I promise it will be better for it.
I agree. So, I couldn't disagree. I agree
100%. Yes. Greg, I didn't make you do too many dumb things this show. I'm really disappointed in myself. So there's always next time, though. There's always next time. If you listen to the show just to hear Greg be humiliated, I'm flattered. However, you may want to evaluate some things if all you want to do is hear Greg be humiliated. I mean, granted, that's something I'm still fully committed to. But it doesn't have to happen every single show. We actually had a lot of, again, great wrestling news, a great week for wrestling out there. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for just being a fan. It honestly means a lot to me. And now that this show is free, available to the public, this may have been your first time listening to the show. So I especially want to thank you if this is your first time. You sat through this whole thing, which is, I mean, you deserve an award. You deserve a medal. You deserve a ribbon. You deserve a certificate of participation because it is a bit of a task to sit through this, but hopefully a good one. As Greg has mentioned before, if you've listened to this before or not, I am not on Twitter, but I am available on Facebook. You can visit me at Miranda Morales on Facebook. Feel free to friend me, message me, recommendations on a future hashtag Miranda Writes. What are things that you think Greg DeMarco should do? I'm the voice of the people. So if that's something that you think you should, you know, you want to convey as far as, you know, something fun for Greg to do, you can. Or you can just tweet Greg directly at ChairShotGreg on Twitter using hashtag Miranda Writes. Tell him what he should do on my show because there's nothing like torturing him like with just things that he can see and he can't do anything about. It's great. So definitely, if you're listening, tweet Greg with some ideas you may have for future hashtag Miranda Writes. I think it's great.
It's the best thing ever. It really is.
Yes, it really is. Again, don't forget to check out ChairShot.com for all your latest wrestling news and opinions, the ChairShot Radio Network, everyone on Twitter, everyone on Facebook. Hug your mom. Happy belated Mother's Day to everyone. You know, say hello to a friend. You know, watch Money in the Bank. We'll be back next week to talk about it. You know, make a sandwich. Fold your clothes. Do it all. You know, you still got time in the day, depending on what coast you're on. So get it all done.
That's right. Fold your dirty laundry after you wash your dirty laundry, because I'm sure that'll be back next week, and we all love that. So yeah.
Yes, it will be back. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and have a great night.
Adult. 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 Adult.